really what the 7-day challenge is designed to do is really get you present to understanding when you're not feeling unstoppable and learning how to shift that so that you can practice stepping into that unstoppable mode anytime you choose.
Welcome back to Idea Gym, the best place to turn your good ideas into simple daily actions to create lasting change, no matter how full your plate is. I'm Jeff Corrigan, along with my co-host Sheldon Mills. We believe you already have all the great ideas and motivation you need. It's time to put them to work. So today, to help us do that, we have a very special guest, Lara Banks, who is a certified energy coach for life and leadership skills. Her focus is mind-body connection. We had an amazing conversation about how to manage our mind and energy, and she gave us some incredible tips on how to see it, own it, and flip it so that you can feel unstoppable in taking action in your life. So without further ado, I introduce Lara Banks.
I'm an energy coach, so I work in the area of mind-body connection and how that motivates us to take action in our lives.
And you're coming to us from Cape Town, South Africa, right?
That's right. Yeah, I am. I'm here, I guess, kind of on play and business. So I'm consulting with a nonprofit organization to bring coaching into their ecosystem to support social entrepreneurs all across Africa.
Sweet. That's very cool. What are some of the main areas of the social entrepreneur focus there? It's very interesting to me.
Yeah, there's a lot of social entrepreneurs in this space of anywhere between, social activism, creating more sustainable recycling programs, creating organizations to support women who have experienced gender-based violence. There are a lot of programs that actually support social entrepreneurs in the development space. So it's a really lively and exciting space to be in currently, especially around Africa. Yeah. That's very awesome. Inspiring.
That is inspiring. Sounds like they're changing the world.
They really are. Yeah.
The other thing that we wanted to join and talk about today is a lot of what you're working on as far as you have a challenge coming up, which we're really big into challenges on Idea Gym. And it's related to mindset, right? Tell us a little bit about kind of the basis behind it.
Yeah. So I actually, I'm an energy coach. And so I coach around energy. And what that means is energy is almost a fancy way of saying mindset, but it's really about mind and body. So our mindset actually manifests in our bodies and physical felt sensations that ultimately drive our actions and motivations in life. So, have you ever, I'm going to ask this to you, Jeff, have you ever come to a point, it's New Year's Day, and you have a goal that you want to fulfill on? Maybe it's, going to the gym 6 times a week. I'm not sure if you already do that. You look like you're in great shape, but there might be a goal that you wanted to take on, and you have the intention, you have the motivated mindset, but you can't seem to actually put the physical practice in place to get to the gym. The habit is missing there, right?
I've had that, not just with the gym, but so many things in life. You're like, I want to do this. And you
all
feel motivated.
Life, right? Every,
read a book, every watch cool a show, listen to an audio. And then you're like, can't get myself
exactly
to take the step.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the reason why that happens is because there's conscious thoughts and drivers going on in our minds, this desire to fulfill on that goal. But there's also subconscious things going on in the background influencing our behavior.
What do you call those? What would that, I don't know if there's an official term, but what do you call them?
There actually is an official term. So the fact that we have only 5 senses is actually a myth. So the five senses that we have, taste, smell, touch, vision, and the one that I'm missing.
Hearing.
Hearing, right. That's the last one? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's actually called exteroceptive sensations. Okay, so there are visceral experience that's happening outside of our bodies, right? Mm-hmm. And so we actually have internal senses going on called interoceptive sensations. Yeah. And those are emotional and social drivers that are sensed by our heart, our gut, connective tissues in the body, right? And so those sensations actually drive our behavior. And the trick is to get very, very present to or aware of those sensations and how they might be driving our behavior. I want to give you an example of this.
Yes, please.
So I'm standing in my mother-in-law's kitchen over the holidays. And my husband's sister, my sister-in-law, is very passionately talking to me about politics. I honestly, I can't remember what exactly she was saying to me because I was so enraged as she was delivering this message to me of her felt beliefs, whatever they were.
Yeah, her and opinions.
her opinions. And I could feel this heat radiating in my face. And my heart is thumping. And I'm taking that as a cue to tell myself, okay, this is something that I'm not really prepared to talk about right now. This is not something that I can mindfully engage in a yeah. conversation that's reasonable and responsive versus reactionary and aggressive, right? And so when we get a sense of those internal cues, it actually creates a pause for us to respond to stimuli coming in versus automatically reacting to them. So I'm actually curious, I'm going to throw this to Sheldon. Sheldon, have you ever had an experience like that where the sensations in your body felt were so, you know, there for you that you really knew, okay, I got to stop here.
Yes. Well, I think as a typical dude, I've been socialized to try and repress, almost like repress experiences like that, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And an exercise that I do started a while back, just felt it was, you know, some trainings and things. It was a feelings exercise where it's just, I feel, I have one of those like feeling wheels. It's not to try and create a feeling, but to identify what you're feeling, right?
Yes.
And since the beginning of that practice, I am much more mindful of those sensations. I have five kids, and frankly, some of the I'm not an angry man. I don't want to paint a, you know, I'm not like a terrible person, but I hope not, right? But I've been much more aware of when, even though maybe on the surface I'm calm and collected, internally I'm irritated or frustrated. And the more I learn, the more I realize, like, you can't really hide it, right? No matter what you say, the intent always comes through. So it is kind of fascinating to me what you're talking about, that just the you know, energy, we kind of relate it to saying it's mindset, but it's really the mind and the body and that consciousness. We have these desires, these goals, the things we want, but we have these subconscious things happening to us. These, you know, as Jeff and I might call it, like hidden rules that we live by and beliefs that affect us. So yes, I have had experiences like that, to answer it in short.
I'm so, so glad. I love, love, love that you brought this up, because this is like, and I love the way you explained it. So I don't want to like take away from that at all, but I just want to share a quote that fits so nicely. It's from Stephen Covey. don't know if you've read his book. It's The Seven Habits of Highly Successful People. But he says, there is a gap between stimulus and response, which is exactly what you just said, right? The key to both our growth and happiness is how we use that space. That is the space we control. And I just was like, wow, that's like such a, you shared such a great example of that. And it's, and I think that's true. Like between action and reaction, there's this gap that exists. And that's really the spot where we have choice, because we're always subjected to outside stimulus and exterior stimulus. And we have an emotional response that's somewhat automatic, right? And maybe it is 100% automatic. I'm not studied enough to know, but there is a time between, like you just said, that pause that we can create. But I think the most important thing you brought up is having awareness to that gap. Because if you aren't aware of that gap, you can't control it. You don't have a choice. And it's interestingly enough, the choice only exists once you become aware of the availability of that choice.
Absolutely.
Sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to.
No.
Such a powerful piece.
Yeah. And that's what my model, that the 7-day challenge is actually. So the 7-day challenge is called the Energy Activation Challenge. And really it's about exactly what you said, Jeff. It's about bringing more choice into your life of how it is that you want to show up. And really that is a practice. So this 7-day challenge is introducing a practice to you that's a 3-step self-coaching model called See It, Own It, Flip It. So we've been kind of talking about the see it portion of it right now. We have talked about body awareness and also, like Sheldon was saying, about the awareness of the feelings, the mind, right? And I also start off the see it portion, day one, about being aware of your energy, what your context is. Do I feel like life is happening to me? Am I powerless in relation to life? Or is life happening by me? Am I creating my experience of life? And we oscillate in and out of that kind of mode all of the time. If you're familiar with the drama triangle, it's the victim mentality versus the creator mentality. It's kind of the duality of energy. There's actually a spectrum in between, but I like to keep it simple for people.
Yeah. There's always a little more complexity than what we try to deliver, right?
Yeah. Dualism, not so. I like the grays
like
in between.
Politics, it's the same thing.
Exactly. So the see it portion is all about building awareness, right? The own it portion of the self-coaching model is really about taking responsibility for your experience. And what I mean by ownership, responsibility, is having power or mastery over something. And so it's for us to, once we become aware of it, how do we gain power or mastery over it? And there's actually a secret formula to it.
Yeah.
Let's hear it. Please share.
It's a two ingredient formula.
Okay.
Curiosity and compassion. Those are the keys. Okay. It sounds very simple. It is. And in a world where we are constantly comparing ourselves and, you know, getting down on ourselves about performance and, you know, trying to be the best husbands we can be or the best coaches we can be, that compassion piece has tremendous amounts of power to it. And I think Brené Brown talks a lot about that as well. Lots of great
Brené
thinkers.
Brown.
Yeah, amazing. She's amazing. Lots of people talk about that compassion, vulnerability piece that we create, that we can create more space in terms of, you know, orienting ourselves towards the kind of acceptance of our experience. And then ultimately, when you kind of create that clearing of energy through curiosity and compassion, mm-hmm. then you create the space to step into whatever energy, whatever mindset, whatever embodied kind of energy that you'd like to create for yourself. And so yeah. That's kind of the three-step coaching model.
Just for our audience, the link for this challenge, for Laura's challenge, it'll be in the show notes. It'll be in the podcast, so you can go and join that. I just wanted to share a little bit about that now, but would love to dive
more. It's limited, correct? Is it limited on how many people or just the dates?
It's limited between the dates. So it's happening September 21st to the 27th. And it's happening on WhatsApp. So the format is I broadcast a message to you. You have actually direct access to me. If you have any questions, I'm going to have office hours every day.
Wow.
So you can ask me any questions that you like.
Free challenge with a coach. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's high value.
Is super high value. That's awesome.
I'm very excited about it. I've been working hard. I've been working with this model with my clients for some time, and I've recently incorporated this what they call somatics, experience of the body into the model. So I'm doing a little test of it to see how it resonates with people.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Well, we want to participate because this is an area that I love and I'm super passionate about, but it's still so, even though it's simple, like you said, it's also very challenging, right? Simple does not equal easy.
Yeah. You could take this challenge like 10 times and still learn something new every time.
Well, I love that it's like this self-coaching model that you're sharing. So let me see if I understand it. So see it is really being aware of, I don't know, I'm calling it the gap, but maybe that's an overused term, but it's being aware of this gap between stimulus and response and mindful of that. And then owning it, the two-step thing is, what did you say, curiosity and compassion?
That's right.
So how do those play into it? You mean, I liked the explanation, but give us another one for like the fifth grade level.
Yeah, sorry, I get very wordy. So when you explore, so see it is really about just witnessing your experience as it is, mm-hmm. your mind experience, your body experience, right? Being very mindful of that gap. Mm-hmm. You're creating the gap actually through curiosity. So when you get curious, instead of trying to force your experience to be a different way than what it is, and you bring curiosity, you witness it with a, okay. Maybe if you're feeling some anxiety, right? If you're feeling some tension in your chest, mm-hmm. instead of wishing that away, bringing curiosity to that experience instead. And kind of witnessing, okay, there's a tightness in my chest in this specific area. Okay, how far does that go along the chest? Like how does that feel? Is it pulsing? Does it feel like a rock? What does it really feel like? As you bring your attention to the sensations in your body, you actually create a space of presence. Right? And what's happening in the present moment is simply what is so. That's what I call the present moment, just the what's so.
Yeah, right? It is, right? It's like the
it is.
It's so.
And once you kind of you're able to create that presence with curiosity, you actually create that gap that you were talking about.
Okay.
Right? The experience of curiosity creates the opening for response versus reaction. So the own it piece is actually the practice of creating the gap.
Okay.
Let me give you an example.
Yeah, have an example.
I'm gonna get into story time for a moment, but I think it will actually help really paint a picture.
I love it.
Of what I'm talking about here. Okay, so I'm on the top of Table Mountain. It's this beautiful mountain in Cape Town. The wind is whipping and the full moon is out. And I am miserable because I had just climbed 1,800 meters to the top in the dark with some new friends. Okay. We went on a moonlit hike. And at the time, right before we started, I thought the knee injury that I had been kind of nursing for 3 months had disappeared. I got to the top and I realized, actually, no, it's full-fledged knee injury. I feel tremendous amounts of pain in my knee and I need to now hike down the side of this mountain. Okay. Yeah. So I'm walking along with my friends. They're very quick. And I get into the mode of, why is this happening to me? I can't believe we haven't stopped yet. I can't believe that they haven't thought about, you know, the pain that I'm in.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I was off this mountain. Starting to get enraged, starting to get into why me, poor me mode, right?
Yeah.
Tightness in my chest.
Victim side.
victim mode, right?
Yeah.
I'm at the effect of this circumstance.
Yeah.
I got tightness in my chest, tightness in my hands, really feeling it. Luckily, I had been practicing see it, own it, flip it for some time, right? So I noticed that there was this sensation in my chest that I had identified many years ago in talking to my sister-in-law, right? Yeah. That frustration. And I stopped for a moment and I said, wait a minute, what's there? Right? I brought curiosity to my experience. And I thought to myself, all right, there's a need here that's not being met. What is it? If I were to paint this situation as an ideal experience, what would that experience be like? What would it feel like? What would it actually be like in action? So I started to bring that curiosity to my mind, to my body, right?
Yeah.
And it created this space for me to actually ask myself that question. What do I need right now? What do I want my experience to be?
Yeah.
And I actually answered that question with, well, I would love to slow down and I would love to enjoy this experience. I would love to have some fun. I'm on the top of this beautiful mountain with the full moon out, beautiful panoramic views of the city.
Yeah.
Right. And so in understanding that need, I told my friends to go on without me. I slowed down and I started hiking alone. And I said to myself, you know, I'm not having enough fun yet. What else do I need? And I said, oh, I know, some music. So I started singing at the top of my lungs. I was belting out any improvised show tune that came to mind. And I had a great time. And the whole way down, I completely flipped my experience from one of misery and, quite frankly, injury.
Yeah.
To one of just marvelous fun and complete satisfaction.
Let me see if I can sum up what you're saying is that the more we can be curious and then compassionate with ourselves, the more we can go from being, say, a victim of life happening to us to taking ownership of what's happening, the things we can control, right? You couldn't control that your knee was still in pain, but you could control other things that could, you know, perhaps not take it away or completely make up in that area, but could still make it an enjoyable experience and one that you were owning. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly it. And like you said, the wind was still whipping at 60. Oh, I think it was like 40 miles an hour or something like, it was like crazy winds. I was felt like I was being blown off the mountain and my knee still hurt. But, you know, those were just circumstances outside of myself. What was really affecting my enjoyment of the situation was the way that I was relating to those circumstances.
So you're saying pain is universal, but misery is
a choice.
It's the type that we decide to inflict on ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? It can be controversial saying that, like, you know, yeah, we create our own misery, but ultimately what they're, what there is to kind of point out is that we only, like what Jeff was saying is, we only have the agency to choose how we show up only once we're aware of our present experience and how we're relating to it. If we don't, if we can't witness or see it, right? If we can't see our internal experience and our relationship to our circumstances, then we don't have power in that situation. So no wonder we're reacting to everything, because that's how the human mind works. We're simply, you know, animals responding to, you know, the sensations that our exteroception, right? The external senses. So the beautiful part about being human is that we actually have agency over the way that we relate to our circumstances when we build that awareness.
Yeah, which
that's so beautiful.
A practice. And that's your 7-day challenge, is to help to build that practice, correct?
Yeah, it's definitely a practice. So I encourage people to practice it not only when they're in difficult situations, but also bringing awareness to what their experience is in pleasant situations. Because then you can get a sense of, you know, what the differences are. Because we have a kind of negatively skewed bias, right? Where we focus on the negative and we want to turn it into the positive, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of toxic though, because we're not paying attention as much to our delightful experiences, the things that bring us joy. And the more we focus on the negative, the more we're going to produce that. And so it's really about bringing awareness throughout your life and not just in those unpleasant moments.
That's
it creates
point.
A lot more power. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome. I loved your example. I think that tells the whole story so well. And I think you kind of just went into this. It's the daily practice. So how, maybe this is very hard. Maybe this is a hard question. You do it all the time. So maybe it's not a hard question. Is how does someone get started practicing this? I mean, you had a great example, and I think that gives people kind of that window. Tell us kind of the step-by-step of what would I actually do to become aware? Because maybe it's like, okay, I see it. I understand what she's saying, but I have a hard time implementing this on myself. I don't know. The self-care you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And the challenge kind of gets into this in a bit more detail. And I lead people through actual like practices where I talk them through some of this. But I'll give you kind of the Coles notes. All right.
Perfect.
So this, the see it practice is kind of threefold. I'm going to start over here. So
that's great.
what you want to do is bring a practice of bringing intention to moments 5 to 10 times a day. So what I mean by that is, 5 to 10 times a day, you'll pause for no more than 10 seconds, right? And you'll create this practice of see it, own it, flip it. I get my clients to set alarms or attach like twist ties to one of their fingers, or maybe paint a nail that's a different color for a visual or felt cue, so that you remember. But ultimately, you want to create the space for this practice 5 to 10 times a day. And what you do is, the way that you kind of create a practice around the see it step is threefold. You can ask yourself, what am I feeling in my body? And do, you know, do a, an, bring your attention to parts of the body that you feel sensations, right? So if you actually, maybe this is a little awkward for a podcast, but if you actually sit for a moment and just really get present to the sensations that are inside of your body currently. So if we start on the face, do you feel any tension in the face?
Probably. I was in focus mode, so my face always does something weird, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. And then like part by part, piece by piece, like noticing any sensation. So sensations of heat or a tingling sensation. Maybe you feel the heartbeat in your chest. So if you create moments of mindfulness where you begin to look inwards and scan the body part by part, piece by piece, getting present to temperature, touch, or movement in the body, then you begin to build that interoceptive sense. Maybe you feel the lungs like inhaling and exhaling air.
That's cool. Brought me to like yeah. Break the silence. It's so nice.
No, it's great. I wanted to give you guys that like little snippet experience. So you create that. You start to build that awareness through practice. There will be parts of the body that are feeling maybe less sensitive than others, but ultimately there will be some sensation there in certain parts of the body. And then I lead people through observing the thoughts. So maybe there's like you in that moment where you're scanning your body, you're thinking different things. And I kind of lead people through observing the mind. So maybe one of your thoughts was, what am I supposed to be feeling right now? Right?
Right.
So taking those pauses.
What should I be doing? We try and prescribe how we should be feeling or should be thinking. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So all of those, all of that internal experience is something that we become aware of when we're just silent and present in the moment. Just silent and witnessing without trying to change anything, just really listening to the body with your attention. And I actually remember I sat a 10-day silent meditation retreat, and on day 7, I realized that when people say listen to the body, I didn't actually really truly understand what that meant or even pay attention, right? Like the teacher used to say, like, pay attention in school. I didn't know what they were talking about, but I did understand, my experience of listening to like classical music or music with different pieces and parts in it, right? So if you bring your attention to, if you're listening to like a Zeppelin piece, I love Zeppelin, Led Zeppelin.
Nice.
If you're listening to like Jimmy Page shred on the guitar, all of your attention is listening to those riffs, right? Everything else kind of blends away. And so you can actually bring that same sense of attention to different areas of your body and your mind. And so I think that, you know, we have done a pretty terrible job at teaching people what attention is and how to use it. But usually people resonate with that experience of listening to music and bringing that same sense of curiosity, right? That same attention, listening attention to your internal experience.
Good.
Can you go a little bit more into detail about see if I'm saying it right, interoceptive sensations. Am I saying that right?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You are.
I have never heard that term before. So this
me
is
neither.
This great. Is all new to me.
Oh, so great. There's some amazing books. I'll give a shout out right now to Amanda Blake. She wrote a book called Your Body is Your Brain. Uh-huh. And there's another one by Lisa Feldman Barrett called How Emotions Are Made. All right. And so I'm no neuroscientist. I really just love studying this on my own time. But what they have found is that there are 90% more nerves coming up through your body into your brain than there are from your brain into your body. And so your organs, like your heart, your liver, your stomach, and your connective tissue, are actually sending signals to your brain at all times to do all sorts of things, like digest food and, you know, secrete hormones, et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're also interacting with the environment and intaking information from our environment. So a very simple example is your skin, right? Your skin is actually interacting with the world at all times. It's you know, connecting with the air, the temperature of the air, the density of the air, right? And so your skin is actually sending signals to your brain that give you a sense of where you're positioned in a room, let's say, right? Mm-hmm. And so that kind of function of our nervous system actually creates the experience of us, you know, knowing that there's 4 meters behind me and 2 in front without me even actually needing to be aware of the math or aware of even when I close my eyes, there's still a sense of how much pressure is in the room being produced mm-hmm. by the room, right? And so right. The interoceptive sensations are simply the nervous system of your organs that's communicating to your brain. That's why when we feel excitement or anxiety, we actually do feel felt feelings in our chest, mm-hmm. right? Or maybe you're sweating, whatever, however you feel anxiety, maybe you grip the toes with you grip the floor with your toes, right? So ultimately, all of those reactions of the body are being sent to your brain and actually being interpreted by your brain, and we're labeling them emotion with emotion words.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So emotion words are actually just interpretations of the sensations that we have going on in our bodies.
Sorry, question for you. As you were going through that and your exercise, which is brief but frankly a little enlightening for me, about the practices of mindfulness, of meditation, of self-awareness, but it brings up this question I have is, what do you do? How do you advise clients to deal with discomfort? Meaning, I think a lot of us, a lot of the world, depending on the situation, you know, like we probably unconsciously disengage from a lot of that because it's difficult, you know, emotions, thoughts, meditate, like you said, we gravitate toward the negative, like those strong, powerful emotions. How do you help people become in tune with themselves and everything without, how do I put it, without almost like throwing the baby out the bathwater without even trying very hard or going very deep, because frankly, it can be uncomfortable depending on what's happening.
Absolutely. And as someone who has, you know, dealt with social anxiety her entire life, I 100% know what you mean in terms of those overwhelming kind of sensations that one can feel when they're kind of bring more awareness to them. Is that what you're referring to?
We try and I think a lot of the times we try and not feel or not.
So rather than process it, you just build a wall.
We repress it. You know, we don't want to feel those. I think your example with your sister-in-law and how you felt, I think a natural reaction might be, maybe it's just me, but I don't think so, is to just like try and do all we can to not feel that rather than get curious about it and actually be able to, you know, show empathy to ourselves. How do you coach someone to dance with discomfort, as Jeff would call it, rather than run away from it and, you know, have curiosity and empathy rather than let it be something that could potentially be maybe, you know, maybe that is, I don't know. Do you understand what I'm trying to ask?
Yeah, it sounds like you're just about to kind of formulate an insight there for yourself.
Right? I kind of was, but I didn't want to put words in your mouth. So
no, I'm sure. I mean, this is like very, dare I say, like sacred wisdom. Like this is wisdom beyond the ages. This is like stuff that the Buddha had introduced like 2,600 years ago. So whatever is coming up for you intuitively is probably the answer, and I'll kind of speak to it. So just like you said about the dancing. Okay, firstly, we have it in our society, and I'm not exactly sure if this has been just a human condition or the way that like Western society works, but we have it that we should not be experiencing negative emotions, mm-hmm. that negative emotions are bad and we should only be happy all of the time, right? And everyone feels that way. And when we have unpleasant sensations, we run away from them, we push them away, and we actually are not able to use the wisdom that's actually within those unpleasant sensations. So those unpleasant sensations exist because your body is actually trying to tell you something. Your body is telling you that there's a need that's not being met, that there's a value that's being, you know, pushed up against or struggled, right? That there's something to look at there. It's kind of like a honking horn, right? You're driving on the road and maybe you're drifting because you're talking to your passenger, and a guy in the back is like wailing on his horn, trying to keep you safe, right? But you're thinking, that guy's an ass, right? But he's just trying
ignore him.
He's just trying to keep you in the lane, right?
He's like, your tire is off the car.
Yeah, he pulls up next to you and he's like, your trunk's open, right?
Yeah, whatever.
So our felt sensations in our body are actually, if we change the context around them, they're actually cueing us to something that's not working for us internally. Okay. And that's why the key is curiosity. When you switch the context when you switch the belief or the context around how you're supposed to be feeling inside, and you get curious instead, okay, I am feeling pretty upset today. I am feeling scared, fearful today. How does that feel inside? What do I need? Yeah. Then you actually transform something. If you push it away, you actually can't do anything with it because you're not allowing it to be.
And then you just keep coming to that same place and wondering why it never changes. That's the same two thoughts keep coming to me. One is ignorance is not bliss.
It can feel like it.
The fly in the face of that very popular phrase throughout the world. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's just Western culture, but ignorance is definitely not bliss in this, especially in this regard. Understanding your emotions and knowing that gap is so important. This is so great. I feel like I hope, and the other thought that keeps coming to me is I hope that anybody who listens to this gets a feeling or a sensation of what, at least how I'm feeling right now is, and I've been trying to be mindful of it as you've been talking, guys, like as you've done great work. I want you to know that I feel like this has been, at least for me personally, one of the most impactful episodes we've ever done. In my immediate present emotions. And I feel like it's touched on several things that as well, especially in the United States, and I know throughout the world politically, there's just a lot of issues right now with the COVID situation and how that's impacted us all. and I'm not going to go into politics, but just to say that there's a very divisive feeling happening in the world at large, and especially here in the United States. And it's, and I think a big part of it is ignorance to this fact. Instead of considering our feelings and the feelings of those around us and being curious and compassionate, we're reacting. And it's causing a lot of pain and struggle that is unnecessary, right? But like you said, there's wisdom in this though that needs to be discovered. And so anyway, I just want you to know that this has been a really great, helpful piece to me personally.
I really want to speak to that for one moment, because the more you can be and be curious and accept unpleasant sensations in your body, the more you're able to confront your own biases, because the confrontation of one's own biases is actually very unpleasant, difficult internal work. And it can feel really tumultuous inside with actual felt sensations. And I really believe that that's why so many people are avoiding doing work and speaking to their family members about a variety of different issues. Namely for me, like the Black Lives Matter movement and the importance around that. And so, you know, once we're able to actually be with our own unpleasant emotions, we can actually start to create more empathy and compassion for other people's experience, because we have a felt experience in ourselves. And we actually are more present to, you know, what suffering means and is for ourselves. And that creates a space of being able to be with other people when they're communicating theirs to us.
Power of empathy.
And I love that point. And it's, and to me, maybe this is how I at least have been feeling, is that we all need to give each other room, right? To understand and to come to that sort of peace. Doesn't mean we always agree with one another, right? That's never going to be the case, but at least that we come to an understanding of that. So anyway, this has been great. I know we're running up against our time here, but I wanted to just reiterate your challenge that's coming up, give people the opportunity to take advantage of that and really start to understand and be intentional about this piece of their life, which I think probably, and this is my personal opinion, but one of the most important things you can learn is this, how to manage that gap. Maybe, I don't know, maybe that's a, for lack of a better term, to create, not just absolutely. Manage it, but like you said, create it. Is create that moment and be present. Because I do think about this a lot, where we always say, oh, be in the moment, be present, be the, how do you do that, right? It's so hard because you're constantly worried about what has been, or you're constantly pained by what has been and worried about what is to come. And so it really just is difficult to live in the present. And I think you have pinpointed how to at least start practicing that.
Yeah, and it is a lifelong practice, my friend.
Yes, exactly, right? Nobody, I mean, there's very few that have ever mastered this in the world. Oh, so rather than trying to fix the world, it starts with us, right? It starts by being mindful and changing our own understanding of it. And like you said, I think you pointed out really well how to do that, so I'm not going to rehash, but is creating that for ourselves. And as each individual does that, we create space as a whole that improves the whole world. And that's the only way to do it. You have to start individually.
One last question for me, if possible. Along with the 7-day energy activation challenge, and you gave a couple of books, which I am going to look up and read. And do you have any more resources, information you could share with our audience, either your own work or, again, books or things you can share to, you know, start them on their journey?
Yeah, absolutely. So the thing that has made one of the most differences for me in terms of creating more mindfulness and the ability to shift my own energy is Vipassana meditation. It is a form of meditation that is a mindfulness meditation. And if you go to dhamma.org, dhamma.org, there are free meditation retreats that you can go on if that is something that you decide to dip your feet in. People report just transformative experiences in their ability to be able to, you know, create that gap for themselves. And they are, I've done many of them now. And I can say that each one is as profound as the last. They are 10 days in silence. People always say, I couldn't be silent for 10 days. You're not silent. We just learned in this podcast, you're talking to yourself the entire time, right?
Yeah. It's very rare that you're ever silent.
Yeah, you're just not speaking. And it gives you kind of the opportunity to really, really witness the patterns of your mind and dance with them, like Sheldon so eloquently put. So that I would highly recommend that for anyone who is interested in challenges. It's probably the most challenging thing I've ever done. My first one was the most challenging.
Confronting yourself
for 10 days. Technically nine days.
A lot of us have a struggle even in moments, you know, or let alone a couple hours. So I think for a lot of people, days of being, you know, your own thoughts, being your own company, it's a little terrifying. And I think that probably said something as well. So I'm trying to figure out how I can, 10 days with 5 little kids, 10 days would be possible for me and have a happy marriage. But I'm trying to figure out
even a one day,
go up in the mountains, whatever, of just being alone with like thoughts, prayer, meditation, and kind of trying this. This might be a great experiment, Jeff. Another one. So
yeah, new idea, gym challenge. Okay. the other thing that's come up to me so multiple times in this conversation with Laura is the differences between men and women. It seems to me that, and tell me with your experience, Laura, working with people in this regard, I would assume, and maybe assuming is bad. It depends, but that. Women are more naturally inclined to this way. Am I wrong? Tell me what you've found.
I think you're absolutely wrong.
Okay, great.
Yeah. I've met people of all different flavors, of all different genders that, you know, orient towards their emotions in different ways. And I think that there has been a kind of downplay or maybe even encouragement of emotion suppression for men, certainly, and not exclusively. And I know a lot of men who are able to kind of sense their internal experience. Maybe they don't talk about it, but it certainly is, it's not exclusive to men versus women. Yeah, we all have our own gender conditioning, men versus women versus whomever else. We all have kind of norms that we are boxed in and told to follow. Mm-hmm. And I get that inclination to say that men kind of push down their emotions. I think that that is changing. I do think that that is changing now, luckily. Yeah, I could probably talk for a couple of hours. I could give some sermons on that. But I'll say, just to answer your question, I don't, at least genetically, it's definitely not a male versus female thing.
Nice. Well, see, that's why I wanted an expert's opinion. Because I'm like, I just have, you know, it's like, it seems like just naturally my wife would have an easier time with this than I would, but maybe that's just my conditioning personally, right? Rather than a male female versus thing. So
totally. Yeah.
There you go.
Good catch.
All right. So, with that, we want you to, if you're listening to this, hopefully you had a great experience like we did. And I hope that you guys take advantage of this challenge one way or another to learn and practice more. See it, owning it, and flipping it.
See it, flip it, own it, right? Or is it, am I getting
see it, own it, flip it.
See it, own it, flip it. Got it.
And I want to say that fall 2020 is the first one, but I'm going to run these 3 times a year. So if you're listening to this sometime around January, if you're listening back, then stay tuned for that as well.
Okay. And we'll put perfect resources in the notes to be able to find those as well.
And thank then you Laura so much for having me.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's
so
been a
glad
pleasure.
You came on. Sorry.
This was a great conversation.
Yes. And Laura, I can tell you this, before this, and sorry not to disclose too much, but you had expressed like, oh, well, Jonathan's so great at podcasts and this, I got to say his was amazing, but yours was equally, if not more amazing. Shh, don't tell him I said that. But
I'm so going to tell him that.
Yeah, tell him. And I just am, you know, you're doing great work. I think it's fantastic. So.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate the acknowledgement.
Yep. Well, we'll hope to connect with you again in the future.
Thank you both. I'm looking forward to leading you through the challenge. Definitely
yes,
PM
absolutely. Jay, have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you for joining us on Idea Gym. I'm Jeff Corrigan, and we are so glad you joined us. That was an amazing episode. We had great conversation with Laura Banks. Please follow the links in the show notes and go join her challenge. It's a free coach guided challenge through WhatsApp. So if you don't have WhatsApp, you can download the app. It's super awesome. It's one of my favorite messaging apps. And stay tuned for the next episode. If you liked what you heard today, share this with someone and subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. Have a great day and remember to put an idea to work.